This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. Joining me, as always, is my faithful co-host, Steve Smee.
How you guys doing out there? We have Andy Sinclair joining us. How you doing, Andy?
We have international fitness model Andy Sinclair joining us. Steve, you gotta hype up these guests or no one's going to come on the show.
Yeah.
Andy, how are you doing?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
No, we're really excited to get you on. So we had Scott Abel on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, Scott's almost been your mentor. I guess that's the word you would use.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he basically spoke about you and spoke about, you know, some of the things that you guys do working together. And I guess a lot of people after watching Scott, listening to Scott's show, Googled your name. And I've gotten tons of emails, you know, people wanting to get you on. Basically, they want to know, how do I look like Andy? That's basically what all their questions summarize to. So that's what we want to get you on the show is, you know, you obviously look the part being, you know, an international fitness model, having lots of magazine covers. Can you explain to us, you know, exactly how you eat and how you train? You know, like, I know you're an advocate of the cycle diet. So could you explain a little bit more about what exactly the cycle diet is and how that all works?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, living a fitness lifestyle, I mean, it's a lifestyle first and foremost. So, I mean, there's no gimmicks or secret tricks, or it needs to be sustainable. And that's what the cycle diet is. So basically, I put my body into what's called super compensation mode. So I'll diet in a relative caloric deficit all week. When I say relative, that's relative to my BMR, my basal metabolic rate. So best way to find that out is body weight times 10. That's roughly going to be your BMR. So that's a good place to start your calories, and then you always want to go off biofeedback after that. So basically,
can you kind of extrapolate on that? So in your example, you weigh how much, and we'd be multiplying that by 10. Can you get specific?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know the exact amount of calories I eat anymore. I've been doing this so long. I don't count calories, but I mean, obviously.
So how does someone start out then? Because a lot of our listeners, if they want to follow what you're doing, you know.
Yeah. So basically take your body. So say if you weigh 200 pounds, 200 pounds times 10, that's 2000 calories a day. You space that over 5 or 6 meals. So whatever's more convenient for you.
And are you counting exercise in that? Because, I mean, if you exercise an hour a day, you're burning about 500 calories.
No. You don't need to do that. Nothing like that. That'll put you in a good relative deficit just doing body weight times 10. If you have more of an active job, you could do, like, maybe body weight times 12. So say if you're, you know, working construction or something, you know, where you're moving more. So you could do something like body weight times 12. But
gotcha.
And then you always want to go off biofeedback after that. So when I say biofeedback, you know, even when you're dieting, you still want to have good pumps in the gym. You want to have, you know, ample energy to train hard, and then, you know, energy outside the gym too for real life. You know, that's why low carb dieting doesn't work. You talk to most people, I mean, they barely have energy to work out, let alone, you know, live life. So, I mean, that's not sustainable. So, but that's a big thing. Yeah. I eat carbs through the week. Every single one of my meals has carbs in it, even.
So I got another question for you, Andy. You seem to be like me, and I'm a big picture guy. You know, like, I see people, they get so meticulous, you know, they count the 5 calories in gum and they count the 5 calories in toothpaste.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, you realize that nutrition labels are allowed to have a 20% margin of error, right? And, you know, that apple, based on the season it was grown, based on the climate it was grown in, based on the country it was imported in, it's going to have plus or minus 20% nutrition facts from whatever is on, you know, caloriecount.com or MyFitnessPal. So I kind of tell people to see, you know, big picture when it comes to this, all this stuff. Now, when you say calories times 10, are you including things like BCA supplements, protein supplements, fish oils, things like the things that do have calories? Are you including that? Or are you just saying like, no, calories times 10, that's just your food. Do you want to take some supplements? As long as it's not too excessive, like just take them.
Yeah, same body weight times 10, right?
Yeah, body weight times 10. Yeah. So basically, yeah. You know, you're going to include all the major things that are, you know, a caloric source. So, yeah, you know, something like protein powder. Yeah, for sure. You know, you definitely want to count that because that's, you know, a scoop of protein powder probably has, you know, 120 calories at least. So, yeah, certainly you would want to count that for sure. I mean, the biggest thing is just keeping it simple. You know, I eat 5 times a day and, you know, I eat when I get up. I eat every 2.5 to 4.5 hours, eat my last meal before bed, go to bed. That's, you know, pretty simple. Fit my workout in there somewhere. And, you know, that's fitness to me. Obsessing over everything is not sustainable. And it's, I mean, that's not health and fitness to me. Right. So, I mean,
okay. So we're on a good track here because this is, you know, something similar I do. What I've noticed with me, and tell me if this is something that you've developed over the years, is I'll do exactly what you're saying. I'm aiming for like a 5 to 750 calorie deficit a day. And then once I feel like either like I'm not losing fat anymore or not losing weight, I'll have a refeed day. Is that what you're doing as well?
Yeah, I mean, my body's so programmed now. So basically, yeah, I eat.
But when you're starting out, let's say when you're starting out, because we want to get people on the right track.
Yeah,
to lose
so
weight.
I mean, you may need to diet for, you know, weeks on end before you take a refeed, right? So I mean, that's what's going to program your metabolism into supercompensation. So, you know, the biggest signs that you're in supercompensation are like just constant hunger. You know, you're maybe starting to, you know, your energy's maybe starting to decline a bit in the gym. You're feeling flat. So, you know, those are big signs that you need a refeed, right? So, so basically, yeah, I diet all week. And then,
so when you started out initially, were you noticing you needed a refeed like once a week, once every 2 weeks? What's a good, guesstimate?
Like, I mean, before I went on the cycle diet, I had to diet for about 12 weeks straight, right? So before any refeed. So like to put my body into deep supercompensation. So, and that just goes off reading biofeedback. But nowadays, sometimes I need to do a midweek spike meal. So I'll do a meal Thursday night and then all day Sunday, I'll eat whatever I want too. So
I'll add in a little bit of science here. So basically the purpose of the refeed is it resets your body's leptin levels.
Yeah.
You know, like I can get as scientific as you want here, but basically ghrelin and leptin are your body's, you know, hunger. They regulate your metabolism, they regulate your thyroid, all things like that. If you have a lot of body fat, like let's say as a man, you're over 12%, and as a female, you're over 25%, your body's not worried about going into starvation mode because it has so much excess energy as body fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, refeeds really aren't that important. You know, so if you're someone who's got quite a bit of weight to lose, unless you want to take a, you know, a cheat meal, you know, for mental reasons, because it's, you know, your wife's birthday or something like that, that's cool. But like for physical reasons, you really don't need to be taking refeeds until you get leaner. So that's exactly what Andy was saying. You know, the first 12 weeks, the first 3 months, when you're getting, you know, from, you know, overweight to lean, you actually don't need refeeds. It's only once you're lean, that's when your body starts to go, hey, we don't have a lot of body fat. That's when, you know, it starts to get into starvation mode. And that's when the refeeds become really, really important. And the leaner you get, the more refeeds you need to do because you don't have any excess energy. You don't have any excess storage, right? You have to remember fat is basically your body's reserve energy, right? It's almost like that money in your bank account that you're saving for a rainy day fund. If you don't have any of that, you know, it's more and more important to do these refeeds because your body's just relying on the energy you're getting every day. So yeah, great point, Andy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, people, there's this big misconception that people need to keep, you know, starving themselves to get lean, but you don't create an optimized metabolism by continuing to starve yourself. So that's a big reason for refeeds. I mean, there's a huge upregulating effect to them. I mean, yeah, it's not just because, oh, it's Friday night and I feel like pizza or something, right? Like there's a rhyme and reason to it for sure.
We see this on the other end of the spectrum, like Dr. Turbo was saying, these, you know, people who are overweight, they use these refeed days. it's bullshit because they use these refeed aids just because they want pizza and they're not making progress that way. So we want to be clear, guys, again, if you're overweight, okay, if you're not, you're not Andy or me or Trevor, okay, where you can have a refeed day. I have a refeed day probably once every 10 days, once every 14 days. But like, if you know, you're not at Andy or Trevor's level where you're extremely lean. If you're overweight, a lot of you guys are 20-25%. You can't be eating pizza and wings and all this shit and beer. You've got to, you know, get into that deficit and be consistent. And a lot of you are not in, even in a deficit. I see a lot of people, you know, they think they're getting 1,700 calories a day. They think they're getting 2,000 calories a day. They're not, you know, they're getting like 3,500 calories a day because they don't understand when you go out to a restaurant and eat something, you need to add those, that butter and that oil and that maple syrup that you're smothering all over your food. If you go to IHOP, that's what people do. They smother butter, they smother syrup on their food. You got to add that in. So, you know, this is very important to remember that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's your body's or your brain is hardwired to want food. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're overweight or lean, you're going to be hungry, right? So, I mean, that's where, you know, knowing your body and being able to read biofeedback are so important.
So reading your body, can we get more of that? Trevor, you have something to add, but I really want to get into this reading your body. Because I know, like, once you get into that pace, it's so tempting to have a refeed meal, like, every Sunday. Oh, Sunday is my refeed meal. No matter what, Sunday is my refeed meal. And I've noticed with my weight loss, I've actually lost 25 pounds myself in the past year and a half or whatever. But, I mean, part of the reason I've done that is I don't set a plan. I don't say, okay, every Sunday is my refeed day. I have my refeed day when I feel like I'm due for a refeed day. Either I hit a, you know, a level or whatever where I stop. So can you kind of sharpen that? Because I myself want to get that on point. If you can kind of sharpen that in of when I can really tell I really do need a refeed day, or if it's just my brain craving something.
Yeah, well, being visibly lean first and foremost, that's the most important factor. And like I said, you start to, you know, your energy starts to tank, you know, pumps in the gym, workout performance, that starts to tank too. You know, you might have some training apathy, like you just, you know, things aren't, but things aren't as good as what
Steve, they could be. So. One thing you have to remember is that you've been training for over 20 years. You know your body like a well-oiled machine, you know the ins and outs of it. Same with Andy, same with myself. Yeah. Both me and Andy train people for a living, so we can explain kind of like from the average person. The average person, they really don't know their body that well, that they don't understand these body biofeedback mechanisms. So for someone who's only been training a year, 2 years, or 3 years, it's good for them to have, you know, a set day, like every Sunday have your refeed, because they're not in tune with their body enough to know, okay, you know, I was down 5%. Of strength in my workout, but my sleep was good, my hydration was good, my pre-workout meal was on time, something's wrong, you know, my body's needing a refeed. The average person, they're not that in tune with their body. So what Andy's saying, you know, he's just really simplifying it for the average person. He's like saying, like, keep it simple, stupid, is basically what
that's a good point. That really is a good point.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the people try to overcomplicate way too many things. And that's another big thing too. Sleep, you know, dreaming and thinking of food constantly, like to a point where it's, you know, you're obsessing, right? So those aren't good. You want to be hungry, but not starving, basically, on a diet.
Andy, I know you're an international fitness model. Have you ever competed, though, in a bodybuilding competition?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, so I'm a competitor myself. And one thing I really learned from competing is that there's a lot more to hunger than just physical hunger. You know, when you're 2 weeks out from the show, you're eating like next to nothing, right? Like you're trying to get the last bit of fat off your glutes, so you have striated glutes.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get down to that 4% body fat. Physically, I was starving, but mentally, I didn't want to eat because I was so set on that goal.
No, so, absolutely.
Another example is, you know, I could have just eaten lunch, and then I go to the mall, I walk by that Cinzio, I smell those delicious cinnamon buns. I'm hungry. I'm not actually physically hungry, but I smell that, you know,
oh, for sure.
So, I mean, you have to remember people think hunger as physical hunger, but no. There's a lot of psychological factors. There's a lot of mental factors. You could be, you know, like you could be at work that morning and someone could say, hey, I'm so happy for you. How many months until you give birth? If you hear a comment like that, you're not going to want to eat anything the rest of the day, right? So, I mean, there's so many factors when it comes to hunger. And that's why, Steve, is like, unless you've been training for 20 years like you have and you really, really know your body, a lot of people, they just don't have that skill set to understand these biofeedback markers.
Right. Yeah. But what about the scale, though? If you're watching the scale and then you're making progress, you know, every couple of days you're weighing yourself, you're losing, you know, half a pound here, half a pound there. And then suddenly for like 3-4 days straight, you start noticing your weight is like flat or even goes up. And I've had that happen with me. Wouldn't that be a good indicator too, you think?
That can be a sign that you need a refeed. Not necessarily if it stops, that's okay. Weight can plateau and you're still losing body fat, but going the other way, yeah, that's maybe a sign that you do need a refeed too. So, I mean, this diet's really about staying sustainably lean too. I'm not talking about getting, you know, contest ripped or something. I'm talking about, you know, healthy, lean year round, right? Like, I mean, those are two completely different things as well. So, I mean, nobody should ever be, you know, walking around, just, you know, with food consuming their thoughts all the time, you know, and having trouble sleeping. I mean, that's not a sustainable lifestyle. Doing that for a couple of weeks to get, you know, lean for a competition is one thing, but trying to, you know, live your whole life like that is something different altogether, right? And I mean, that's
one thing that really interests me about, you know, the cycle diet is, you know, I've done lots of bodybuilding shows, you know, I've gotten absolutely shredded, you know, like anybody wants to see my photos, you can see every muscle on my butt. I'm so lean. But it's exactly like you said, it's not sustainable. I mean, towards the end of that diet, I'm barely sleeping. I'm exhausted. You know, my adrenals are fried. Whereas, you know, you've been doing this cycle diet for 10 years. So obviously it's sustainable. I can look, just looking at you on your webcam, you know, you're healthy, you know, your skin looks good. You're not like how I looked the last couple of weeks in my show where it looks like, you know, I'm about to die. So can you tell us, like, what is an example, you know, kind of day look like for you of eating on like your regular day? And then when you do have that cheat day, what does that look like? Is that, you know, all systems go, or like, do you have some restrictions? Do you only cheat for a certain amount of time? Or is it like literally as soon as you get up till you go to bed, it's whatever you want and as much as you want?
I'll start with diet days. Basically pretty simple, you know, breakfast, egg whites and oatmeal, you know, meal two is usually tuna and mini rice cakes. Meal three, chicken and potatoes. Meal four, usually the same thing, maybe chicken and potatoes or chicken and rice, something like that. Meal five, usually fruit and egg whites. And as far as cheat days go, anything goes. I mean, it's really about listening to your body to how much you can eat. I mean, you're not force feeding or anything like that. You're just basically just listening to your body. There's no rules on the type of food you want to eat. So pizza, donuts, ice cream, you know, whatever you're craving. Each week's a little bit different for me. Sometimes, you know, it's all about one food, and you know, next week it's something completely different. So I get up and eat whatever I want all the way till bedtime. So
I mean, you could be eating like 6,000-7,000 calories, you think?
Well, probably more in the realm of 12,000 plus.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
So on your non days, you're at, I don't know how much you weigh, like how much do you weigh, like 200?
About two, depends if it's before or after a cheat day. Before, I gain about 10-12 pounds on the cheat day, right? So just my water weight. Yeah, so I mean, when I'm talking about the amount of food I'm eating, yeah, I'm not joking when I say it's, you know, 12,000 calories or more. So, but I can eat that much. It's not like,
so you weigh probably like 220 maybe. So you're eating 2200 calories a day for however many days, and then when you have your cheat meal, you're eating 12,000 calories.
Cheat day too. I mean, that 12,000 calories or more, like I'm not counting them, but I mean, I can obviously, you know, have an idea of just the amount of the volume and type of food that I'm eating. When you eat
I've had some pretty crazy cheat days. I'd probably say you're closer to 7,000 to 8,000. I mean, even though I've watched your videos, you're eating like an entire gallon of ice cream, 12,000 calories even from junk food. That's a lot of food.
Oh yeah, but when you're eating calorie dense food, it adds up pretty quick, right?
So basically, on your diet days, it's basically a high protein, high carb, low fat, whole foods, nothing magical. Like if you want chicken, you'll have chicken. If you want tuna, you'll have tuna. If you want egg whites, you'll have egg whites.
Complex
carbs, vegetables, fruits. Pretty low fat though. And then on your cheat day, it's basically whatever you're craving, but you're making the point not to eat until you feel sick. You're eating so that you're full, you're satisfied. It's not meant to eat until you're lying on the couch and can't move and you're on your cell phone asking someone to take your socks off for you.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You're not eating until you throw up or anything like that. It's about it's about listening to your body to how much you can eat, right? So,
are you hungry?
Sometimes you could overdo it.
Diet days?
Pardon me, sorry?
Are you hungry at all on your diet days?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, hungry, but not starving, right? Like it's tolerable hunger. You can always feel like you can eat more, but I'm so used to doing this now that I don't even notice it. I mean, I really wouldn't want to eat any other way because I'm just so productive. When anyone knows how they feel after Thanksgiving dinner, right? You don't want to do anything, right? So when you operate in tolerable hunger, you're very productive as a human being. So,
and then after, I just have a question to follow up on that. So if you're gaining like 5, even 10 pounds on your after your cheat day, how many days does it take for that to come off? Does it come off like in a couple of days?
Yeah, it's, usually probably 3 days sometimes, just depending on how hard I went, I guess, on the cheat day. Like I said, sometimes I'll actually need like a meal midweek mm-hmm. to kind of bridge the gap between Thursday and Sunday. My cheat day is always on Sunday, right? So sometimes I'll take a meal on Thursday night to kind of, bridge that gap in between just because, mm-hmm. I'm starting to run out of steam on Thursday, so.
Right. So would you say your metabolism is super, super crazy fast versus someone, a normal person out there, just like 90% of people out there that you see in the grocery store or the post office or whatever.
Yeah.
Typical, dad bod, with a gut. Would you say your metabolism is super, super crazy compared to them, from this diet?
Yeah, I've definitely programmed it that way for sure. Yeah,
right.
Being on the cycle diet for 11 years now, for sure, it's it's certainly programmed it to burn body fat all the time. So, because I'll even take a week or two off diet completely every so often, maybe every 16 to 20 weeks or so, and I'll take a week or two off completely and. Eat whatever I want for, 1 or 2 weeks. And when I go back on diet, my body goes right back to, where it was after, a week or two back on diet. So it goes right back to what it knows. And, it's all about programming it, right? Without starving it, without doing, just gimmicky diets and eating. It's just about eating whole food.
So Steve, like asking your biofeedback question, I think Andy indirectly answered it there. He basically said, during the week, he's hungry, but it's tolerable hunger. It's not crazy, which signs that, his body's in a fat burning mode. And then when he takes his refeed, he's full, but he's satiated, but he's not stuffed. So I think that's kind of the biofeedback you want to be knowing. And I always say, to any of my clients where their goal is, optimizing body composition, I say hunger is a good sign. Like, we've been convinced by the food industries that hunger is a bad thing and that, as soon as you're hungry, you need to go sprint to your cupboard and eat an oatmeal to go bar or, eat a Snickers bar because, hunger is this terrible thing, but.
Or drive down and get fast food, go down.
I actually encourage people. I'm like being a little bit uncomfortable and being hungry for an hour. It's not going to kill you. It's actually a good thing. It teaches you that, how your body works. It teaches you hunger. It teaches you when you're satiated it's a good thing. So I totally agree with Andy. Andy, one question I have for you now is what does your training look like? I mean, food is one part of it, but also training really helps build that metabolism. So do you train 6 days a week? Are you, you know, one of those low volume guys, just 3 days a week? How much cardio? What are your recommendations on that?
I really just depends what's best for me right now. Like currently I'm just doing a 5 day body part split, just traditional bodybuilding training. I haven't done any cardio in over a decade. That's another big myth in the industry, aerobic cardio. People do that like it's, you know, the best thing for fat loss. I mean, it has a very short window of effectiveness. I mean, we're talking like 4 to 6 weeks, it's effective. And then after that, you either have to start doing longer and longer sessions and more of them, right, for it to keep working. So that's people that do it year round. It's pointless. The best exercises to optimize your metabolism are just, you know, exercises that are based around tissue building. That's all the best and latest research on that is pretty much pointing that. And if you look, you know, at, you know, just bodybuilders through the ages, I mean, you look at Arnold and those guys back in the day, they didn't do any cardio. I mean, cardio was unheard of back then. Those guys stayed lean year round. So, it's definitely overrated for fat loss. I mean, it works for specific periods of time, but doing it year round is pointless.
Well, let's let me get specific follow up on what Trevor asked. And I know he wants to ask more on your training. Abs. I've been doing a lot of social media articles where I'm kind of analyzing, you know, social media guys, their training styles and all this. And I find it fascinating that there's so much different opinions out there. And I'm curious because you have some, you know, awesome abs. I'm curious, what's your take on, for example, the Dallas McCarver belief that you shouldn't train abs with weights because your abs will get too strong and they'll bulge out? Do you think that's bullshit? Do you think that's true? And what's your opinion on, best way to work abs?
Certain exercises, I definitely wouldn't recommend using, heavy weights, like something like dumbbell side bends. Yeah, that's, unless you want really big, you know, love handles, and no, that's probably not a good exercise to be doing. But certainly there's some exercises that you could definitely use resistance on, like, you know, something like rope crunches. And the biggest thing with abs, I mean, you always want to be probably training them in the, you know, in the 12 to 20 rep range. That's, if you're training them properly, you really shouldn't be able to get over 20 reps anyways. These people that are doing, if you look at the world record holder for sit-ups, I mean, he doesn't even have visible ab development. So there's a perfect example right there, right? Like he's just training the movement, not the muscle. Okay. So
if we want to get the nice visible abs, obviously you have to be lean first. Those of you who are listening who have a gut, a dad bod, you got to lose that gut first. You got to lose your body fat first.
Yeah.
Once you do lose that body fat, you really want to get those abs showing, a nice six pack. What is some advice that you can give us?
Well, definitely check out absbyandy.com for sure. Check out my abs project. But there's always different.
Well, let me help you out. Should you work your abs every workout?
No, I mean, you could. I mean, there's different ways you can program stuff. But the biggest thing with abs are, like, everyone seems to think there's, you know, such thing as spot reduction. So people always think, oh, if I keep training my abs, I'm going to burn fat from my midsection, which, you know, just isn't true, right? So, but I mean, as far as exercises go, like, always including like a crunch variation, some sort of plank variation, a rotational movement, and a leg raise movement. Those are probably your four most effective movements. I mean, there's tons of different variations you can use, but
if you want to know something really interesting, Andy, there's a study that was just released on PubMed. This was released about 3 months ago, and this was done by some European researchers. And they were researching fat reduction, which is exactly what you said. You know, a lot of people think, hey, if I do 1,000 sit-ups, I'm going to lose all my belly fat.
Yeah.
And what they did is they took overweight people. They had them on the exact same diet and training program. But one group did abs and the other group didn't do abs. So basically they did their weight training program. One group did abs and then they did their cardio. So basically they weight trained and did cardio. I think it was 4 days per week and they're all on a calorie deficit diet. And they all lost weight. Basically, they pretty much all had the same body composition towards the end of the study. But if you looked at the DEXA scan, the group that trained abs actually lost more body fat than the group that didn't. And what the researchers hypothesized is that when they did the ab training prior to the cardio, they depleted their abs of glycogen so that when they did the cardio, their body had to burn body fat in that area. Now, granted, this is talking people who are overweight and went to lean. And I mean, like, none of them had a cover model body, right? Like we're talking like going from 20% body fat to 12%. So I thought that was really interesting that, you know, I really don't think, you know, there's much merit to spot reduction, but I think maybe it might give you an extra like 1 or 2%. I mean, and if you do talk to the people with the best abs of all time, like we had Frank Zane on the podcast about a month ago, that was a really good episode. And he said when he was getting ready for the H Olympia competition, he did abs for half an hour, 7 days a week. So I think there's something to it. Cause if you look at the guys with the best abs, they all train abs. So I don't know. It's one of those things where you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different answers.
No, for sure. I mean, when I'm talking about training too, I mean, I'm talking about sustainable, you know, sustainable exercise, right? Like obviously, yeah, Frank Zane, when he's getting ready for a contest, did them for half an hour, 7 days a week. But I mean, that, how's that apply to people listening to this podcast, right? Like that's not applicable at all. So, you know, it's all about developing a sustainable, healthy lifestyle. That's going to, you know, keep you lean year round and, you know, have a real life outside the gym and not consumed by diet and exercise all the time. Like it's, you know, that's really what Scott and I are all about. Right. So,
yeah. So for the average person listening to this, you know, who, you know, has got a job, he's got a wife, he's got kids, he's training, you know, 4 or 5 days per week. Would you say, you know, maybe do some direct ab work 2 or 3 days per week, something like that?
Yeah. Like normally I'll train them about twice a week. You know, at this point too, in my development, I don't have to spend a whole lot of time on them anymore. Like it's just, you know, once they're kind of a muscle group, once you have them, I mean, they're constantly working anyways, like when you're doing other exercises, I mean, your core is always being engaged. Right. So, I just kind of, you know, I'll work them twice a week, but nothing like how I used to do them. That's for sure. Nothing like what's in the Abs by Andy program. That's, you know, that's for people that don't have abs, that's really gonna, you know, get the ball rolling with them. So.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And I kind of think a lot of people are kind of missing the big picture. Cause if you ever watch TV at midnight, how many ab infomercials do you see of, you know, this ab crunch machine or this ab ball or this super ab?
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Right. And
you guys have those in Canada too?
Yeah. There's so many gimmicks now. I remember seeing one, I don't know, it was like a board that you stand on and you just rotate.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Spin your way to ab.
Yeah. Like, come on. Like,
how about those things you put on, you turn a little knob and it like makes it vibrate? Show a guy with like a ripped six pack and he'll be vibrating on his stomach. So all these fat people go and buy it and they strap it to their stomach. They think that's gonna get mad.
Yeah, it's quite the industry. I mean, never underestimate people's, you know, wish bias, right? Like if they want to believe it works, right? So and then they.
Well, same with the supplement industry. I mean, how many, like a lot of these supplements really don't do anything, but look at it this way. America spends the most money on nutritional supplements and pharmaceutical drugs than any other country in the world, and they're the fattest and sickest country in the world. So what does that tell you?
No, it's, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some legitimate supplements, but I mean, there's some that some companies market that are just,
Well, the one supplement Americans eat a lot of is food. You can't go anywhere where I live on a Friday or Saturday. Any restaurant, Friday, Saturday night, you eat a reservation, and it takes you like an hour or two, even with a reservation. So one thing we do a lot of is food. And that's why we're saying, if you want to, you know, drop weight and drop body fat, you have to eat properly. You have to get you know, into this metabolism, and you need to eat.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
absolutely
the only way you can do it.
And that's, I mean, a big reason why I like the cycle diet so much. We do live in a world of food abundance, so the cycle diet allows me to, you know, enjoy that, right? So, I mean, you can't deny that there's a lot of, you know, great food out there that's not going to make you, you know, ripped if you eat it all the time. But I mean, if you, you know, utilize it properly, you can actually, you know, use it in your favor to optimize metabolism and to enhance your cosmetic appearance. So,
so Andy, I have to hit you with this, man. I mean, I asked a lot of our guests this question. You know, like for me, I've lost like 25 pounds in the past year or two, but like I don't look like I've lost the weight. And the reason for that is I've been using, you know, I've used anabolic steroids, I use SARMs, I use a lot of supplements to kind of offset, you know, that catabolism from being in a constant deficit most of my days. So I have to just use the same question. I mean, if you're in a deficit 6 days a week, you know, how are you keeping your muscle? I mean, what are you taking?
I don't use any drugs. Like, I'll be perfectly honest with you. Yeah, I don't use any anabolic steroids or any, you know, ancillary drugs that go along with those.
Right. So what would you attribute to you keeping your muscle mass?
Well, there's always a brief anti-catabolic period to any diet. I mean, you don't just start, you know, losing muscle right off the bat, right? So, I mean, there's always a brief anti-catabolic period to any diet. And when you're only dieting a week at a time, I mean, it's, you know, that's really a non-issue, yeah. Really. So
actually what Andy's saying, Steve, is actually scientifically correct. If you look at long-term starvation studies, muscle catabolism only really starts on the second, third, fourth week, because your body then goes into starvation mode.
Yeah.
If you're, that's why, you know, when you're doing a diet, whether you're a natural athlete, enhanced athlete, it's important to have those weekly, or not necessarily weekly, but listening to your body and knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'll take time, you know, extended time off diet too. As I said before, sometimes I'll take a week or two off diet every, you know, 16 to 20 weeks. So, I mean, that falls right in there. Okay. It's an extended overfeed. So
can I follow up with this question then? I appreciate you coming on, by the way. And being honest, like, okay, you know, we all know anabolic steroids, they help with recovery, they help protein synthesis, they have a lot of, you know, good things about them. Why wouldn't you use them? If you, you know, you want to be more ripped, you want to have more muscle, what made you make the decision not to go down that route? Because I'm sure that, you know, if you would use them, maybe your gains would be better, maybe, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to ask that question.
It's just another, you know, getting back to doing something that's a sustainable lifestyle. I mean, it's, you know, it's unsustainable to be on, you know, to be on juice all the time, right? Like, you can't just completely change your biochemical and hormonal environment all the time and expect not to have some sort of long-term repercussions, right? So I've been in this industry long enough. I've seen enough really bad stuff, and I don't really want to be a part of it. I didn't really like the people that, you know, I was around that were using
it
stuff.
It is a good point, because steroids do, they mess up your cholesterol for sure. And that's universal. And they also mess with your reproductive health. Right. Like, if you were to run a lot of steroids, it would drop your sperm count. It would, you know, have some effects on HPTA. Trevor, he used steroids at a young age, and he had to go on TRT at a very young age.
Sure.
So that is true. And that is a good point.
I'm a walking example to basically what you just said. You know, I had a coach when I was 18. My coach was not as good as Scott Abel. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And he basically said, you know, hey, if you want to, you know, get into bodybuilding, you know, you're going to have to use steroids. And, you know, I'm just some 18-year-old kid. You know, when you're 18, you really don't know much. And you trust this guy, you know, like, he's kind of your mentor.
Sure.
Like, you look up to Scott. I looked up to him. And it wasn't just steroids. You know, if he told me to eat dirt, I would say, how many ounces do you want to eat? You know, if he told me to do 100 sets of squats, I would do 100 sets of squats. You know, it's just, I just had that, you know, like, Olympic mindset, whatever it takes, you know. So I asked him, you know, I'm just this 18-year-old kid. I said, well, like, what about side effects? And he said, you know, the only side effect is results. And I mean, you're some 18-year-old kid. And And I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, okay. And I really got bad advice. You know, I mean, Steve is coming from a point of education. He knows all about, you know, taking the proper support supplements on cycle so you stay healthy, running blood work, doing post-cycle therapy. I didn't do any of that stuff, right? Like I didn't know any of it. I was just an 18-year-old kid. I got some stuff from him. He, you know, basically explained how to do an injection, and I injected into my butt in my bathroom. And right. So I basically shut down my permanent natural testosterone production because I used them for at such a young age, and I'm on testosterone replacement therapy for the rest of my life. So yeah. It's kind of like you said, you know, now you're a smart guy. If you wanted to take them, I'm sure you could do the research and everything, but it's just one more thing you have to look into. And it's just it opens a whole nother bag of worms. Like you said, you know, you have to continuously get blood work done. And
yeah. And it's, I mean, people have, I mean, obviously I know people that use them, and they have like their physique when they're on, and then they have their physique when they're off. Right. So I'd rather just have something that, you know, where I look the same year round. Right. I have nothing against people that use them. I mean, it's a personal choice. I'm not anti drug or anything. It's just, I see them for what they are, and I don't need them in my life. So,
and I'm going to say one more thing. A lot of people like to use it as an excuse. They like to look at your physique and say, the reason I don't look like him is because he's cheating. He's using steroids. Yeah. You know, it's just like in baseball. Once that whole Barry Bonds thing came out, it's all, well, see, I would have been in the, you know, I would have been in the ML. What's it called? Yeah. Major League Baseball?
Yeah, MLB. Yeah, they would have hit all those home runs if they had just injected their ass with steroids. Because it's that fucking easy, you know? Yeah. It's that easy. And it's not because Barry Bonds has been, you know, has an amazing talent. Yeah. He's been hitting baseball since he was 5 years old.
It has nothing to do with the fact Andy's been, you know, working out his entire life. He's been training, you know, 5 days a week religiously, you know, the past 30 years. No. Right? So that's where I think a lot of it comes from, Andy. And you know, it's a jealousy thing, right?
People just assume, right? Like they're like, oh, he's, you know, he looks better than I do, so he must be, you know, using something, right? So I mean, that's just the world we live in now. I mean, there's way too many people that do. I mean, there's people that they work out for 2 weeks and they're already looking to go on stuff, right? So I'm not a big fan of that, because I mean, they're not even eating or training properly yet, and they're already looking for, you know, a crutch, right? So
and I have a lot of natural clients who, you know, look better than a lot of the guys juicing. And you know, I've had people say like, well, what's that guy taking? I'm like, he's taking nothing. Like, I'm being honest with you. And they're like, no, you're lying. I'm like, why, what would I get out of lying to you, man? I'll tell you what the other guy I'm training is taking. If you want, I'll send you it. Like, I'll tell you exactly what he told me he's taking. Like, I'm being genuinely honest with you. Like, but I don't know. We just live in a society full of jealousy right now.
Everyone wants everything right now too. I mean, there's no question. Yeah. They work. Obviously people wouldn't use them if they didn't, but I mean,
Well, Andy, how old are you now, Mass?
34.
Okay. So you're about my age. Would you say the younger generation? I mean, every generation likes to pick on the younger generation. I always give Trevor shit, you know, about his generation. But do you think that younger generation, they just grew up in a different world with social media and Facebook? You got kids that are like 12 years old who have Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
That peer pressure. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, that's why they're hopping on steroids after 2 weeks, because they see you know, their heroes on social media doing it. So they're like, fuck, I want to do it too.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I don't think some people realize the amount of drugs some of their favorite fitness personalities are using. Like, and for them to dole out, you know, diet and exercise advice to someone who's, you know, completely natural or just starting out, I mean, it's non-applicable, right? Like, it's like comparing the NASA space shuttle to a Ford Model T. Like, it's just like, there's no relevance there.
I wonder if the younger generation after that is going to be even more crazy in terms of that, because the whole internet boom has changed the way we approach it. It's like the ADHD society. We need everything now. When I was younger and I was learning about weight training as a teenager, I'm a little older than you, by the way, Andy. I'm almost 40, but we didn't have internet. So what I had to do is I had to go to the library, and we were only allowed to check out two books at a time. So I check out two books, read them, take them back a week later, get two more books, read them, take them back. That's how I learned how to weight train. Now you can just go online. Yeah. You know, there's so much information out there. And I think that's kind of sped up the process. So for me, it took me a long time just to learn what a workout split was and their routine. Now you can just go and look up a routine. So I think that's everything sped up for these young guys.
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, everyone's an expert now. Everyone's a guru too, right? So, I mean, information doesn't necessarily mean knowledge. I mean, that's what people, you know, there's a big misconception there where people just, they read something online and then it's, you know, that's 100%, you know, truth right there. So
I'll tell you what it is, coming from someone of the younger generation. It's exactly what you said, Steve. It's, if you wanted to learn about weight training, you had to go to the library, you had to check out a book, you had to read that book. When you read something, you don't absorb it right away. You know, you need to write it down a couple of times. You probably had a bunch of those pages, pin the page of the book so you can come back to that page.
Bookmark. Book,
yeah, yeah. The library hates that. I actually almost lost my library card because I was doing that to books. But then you would probably have to take that book with you to the gym. You have to practice it a couple times because there's only pictures, right? Now, me, I want to learn how to squat. I'm on my phone, YouTube, how to squat. I got a video, 2 minutes, I'm done, right? Same thing with you. If you wanted to know about some world event or something, you'd have to wait for the newspaper to come out. You'd have to dig through the newspaper, find that article. Me, I'm on Google. I Google it. Within 2 minutes, I got the full story. I got a video. I got someone who's on location filming it, live video. That's why we're so impatient, is because we don't have to wait for anything anymore.
It's the post-facts era, right? So
Now there's fast food, but not just that. They deliver it to you. You don't even I don't even have to drive 5 minutes to the McDonald's. They deliver it to my door now. Like,
yeah, the
you don't
Uber
even have
Eats,
to pick up the phone to order it. You can just go online and order it online through your app. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's crazy. So,
Definitely. I mean, we definitely live in a world of accessible information for sure. I mean, everything's very easily accessible.
And that's what I was getting at about, you know, a lot of people of my generation have never even felt uncomfortable. If they're hungry, they use their app. Within 5 minutes, there's food on the door. If they're hot, they turn on the air conditioning. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And if they can't study, they're taking drugs. We have people on the forums all the time asking, oh, I can't study. I can't focus in school. What drug can I take? When I study, I fucking study. I stayed up all fucking night to study, and I got my shit done. Now they want a drug for everything.
It's
amazing.
Well, yeah, people don't develop coping skills anymore, right? Like, I mean, it's... With anything. I mean, it's, we have built-in coping skills in our body and people don't, I mean, it's, yeah, people just want to pop a pill for everything now, right? So it's, you know, oh, someone in my family died, I'm depressed, I need this, instead of, you know, just going through the normal process of grieving, right? Like, it's just...
Or going to the gym and using it as an outlet.
Everything's... People need to look inward more
so than anything. Yeah, I've got that beard going. Are you like more hippie? You're into the hippie shit, or
definitely.
I am too. So, what are some tips you can give the younger guys out there who are, you know, struggling in school? They're like, I can't keep up with my schoolwork. I have to take Adderall. I have to take, you know, 10,000 milligrams of caffeine just to study. What's your advice, you know, for them?
Just, you know, don't stop overwhelming yourself. Just one thing at a time. I mean, that's how I do it. I don't try to do, you know, 10 things at once. I do one thing at a time and then, you know, move on to the next thing. Like, stop overwhelming yourself with your life, right? Like, just slow down. I mean, there's a great quote from the Tao, actually, you know, nature never hurries, but everything is accomplished. So.
Andy, have you ever heard the saying, how do you eat an elephant?
No.
How do you eat an elephant?
I don't know how.
One bite at a time.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
And you know, and what I really learned from these bodybuilding competitions is, you know, I'd be 3 weeks out, I'd be hungry, I'd be tired, I'd be stressed, but then you know, I just took it one step at a time. I was like, okay, what do I have to do right now? What do I have to do in an hour from now? You just focus on one thing at a time, and you get through it. You don't die. And I mean, it's like,
again,
big picture with this stuff, like. All the time I'll be at the library and a friend will come up to me and he's like on the verge of tears. He's like, I got this big test tomorrow. I'm like, okay, stop. You're not going to war. you know, you're writing a test. What's the worst thing that happens? You get a zero and you have to retake the course in summer school. Is it like that that bad? Like, if you really just stop and think big world picture of all this stuff, the things we stress ourselves out about are almost laughable.
Yeah, we create things like, in our own mind, right? Like, we want everything right now, and we also want everything done right now, too. So, I mean, that it just people are, you know, it's just go, go, go all the time. And then, you know, that's not how our bodies work, right? So,
and I mean, like, I'm 25. So a lot of my friends, you know, they're still in the dating age and everything. I mean, you've probably had good success with girls. You're a good looking guy. But I have a lot of friends who have such fear of asking out a girl on a date. And I'm like, well, what's the worst that could happen? She could say no. I'm like, you have a date right now?
He's
like,
what a blow to the ego. Eh?
He says no, then you're no worse off than you are right now, are you? He's like, well, I didn't think of it that way. It's kind of like.
it's for sure, man. Like, it's certainly changed. Like, I mean, I'm not that far removed from, like, I mean, you're 25, I'm 34, but I mean, like, that 9-10 years is like it's like 100 years from, you know, compared to other generations, right? Like, or 10 years difference in past generations wouldn't have been, you know, any difference at all. But technology has advanced so much, it's just changed everything. Like, it's.
Well, now a lot of people don't even ask someone in person to go on a date. You know, now there's Tinder, you know, there's all these things, like, they text if you want to go out. And I purposely don't have Tinder or anything like that, because you know how you get a girl? By actually going up and having the guts to ask her to go on a date with you in person, not through text message, not through Facebook Messenger, not through an Instagram message, but actually going up to her in person and saying, like, hey, I was wondering if you let me take you out for a cup of coffee sometime. Yeah. If you go up in person, I promise you 99% of the time she'll say yes.
Just absolutely.
Wow.
They love that, man. Because no guys have balls, you know? So you're like the one guy that's had balls to ask her out in person. So she's going to love that shit, man. She's going to be so wet from it.
Sandy, we got about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
One more question. So we covered diet, we covered training, we were really helpful on all that. A lot of people are curious to know what supplements you take. And I'm just talking like over-the-counter regular supplements. What are some, like, what are your, like, let's say 3 or 4 or 5 most important supplements that you take every day?
I'm sponsored by a company called Blue Star Nutraceuticals. So if you're looking for any good supplements, definitely check out bluestarnutraceuticals.com. But my go-tos, like, creatine's probably number one. Creatine works, bar none. It's the most studied sports supplement on the planet. It's safe. It's effective. It definitely works for me. I always notice performance increase, you know, just with the load I'm able to use for most exercises. I get a better pump. I don't, you know, everyone always talks about smoothing over. I definitely don't have that problem. I definitely hold more water in my muscles, but I mean, that's why it works so good. So definitely creatine's at the top of the list. As far as other stuff, like, I like having a good protein supplement on hand just to, you know, for convenience purposes. I mean, obviously whole food's always the best, but, you know, having a good quality protein powder is definitely good for, you know, for time constraints. You know, it helps me out every so often. You know, if you don't have time for, you know, egg whites and oatmeal first thing in the morning, you know, have a shake and oatmeal or something. So saves time cooking food. So.
So you're big on whey protein. Did you say you consume whey protein? How many times a day?
Well, it's sometimes not even every day. It's mainly just if, you know, for convenience purposes. But I mean, it's definitely, as far as supplements go, it's definitely a better one. I'm always, you know, a big fan of real food first and foremost. I just, you know, I'd rather chew and swallow it, and it's more satisfying.
I have such trouble with whey protein, even if it's isolate. I just, dairy just does not agree with me. I get bloated, and then so I just stick to whole foods. You know, I don't.
No, for sure.
Protein, yeah.
No, for I mean, whole food is definitely the best all the time. But you know, if you can stomach whey protein, I mean, yeah, it can be a good option if, you know, if there's nothing else available. So.
And then you live in Canada, right?
Yeah, in British Columbia. Yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of trouble with vitamin D because the sun doesn't really hit directly, and then, like?
Not really. I mean, I've never been a big believer in that whole vitamin D thing. Like, you know, most, I don't want to get too deep into it, but I'm just not convinced that, it's necessary. I get so much sun in the summertime, your body, anything I've ever read, your body stores it up, and I get enough to keep me through the winter. So
it does store it up.
Honestly, like, for anyone curious about a vitamin D supplement, the easiest way is the next time you're getting a physical done, ask your doctor to check your vitamin D levels, and then you'll know for sure whether or not you're deficient.
Yeah, and I mean, that just makes good sense. I mean, it's a good idea for anyone to go get a physical once a year, right? Like, just that should be a part of anyone's, you know, health regimen anyways, right?
The problem is, where I live, we don't have health. I don't have health insurance, so they just cut off like 30 million people. They just voted to cut off 30 million people. So you guys are lucky in Canada. I don't have health insurance, so if I get sick, I just die. That's my that's where I'm at right now. So
that's too bad. And also, like, saying Canada is like saying the United States. Like, Andy's over in Kelowna. It's pretty sunny. He's over on the West Coast. You know, I'm here in Manitoba. We don't get much sun at all. Our winters are really, really soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Depends where you are in Canada too, with the vitamin.
You got that nice gray sky going.
Winterpeg, that's what they call it.
Yeah. Land of cold and mosquitoes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I've been through there before, but yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly you know, long cold winters for sure, but yeah, I mean, of course, if you are getting regular physicals, and yeah, it's something that you can get easily tested. So, you know.
So you got creatine, you got whey protein. What's your third one? And then we'll close up the show here.
Just depends. Like, I don't mind. Blue Star makes a good branched chain amino acid powder. It also has a few grams of glutamine in it too, and electrolytes. So I don't mind using that. You know, usually after a workout, I'll have it just by the time I eat first thing in the morning. And then by the time I finish my workout, I'll have that. And then, you know, come home and have a real meal of real food. So I think there's definitely some merit to recovery purposes with those, for sure.
I actually know Blue Star well. It's a pretty good company. I've used their protein. It's the ISO Smooth.
Yeah, the ISO Smooth. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm lactose intolerant, and I was able to digest that. So I mean, okay. It's a good isolate. I know Chris. He's one of the. I think he's the VP or CEO or something.
Yep. Chris. That's Chris, right. Belanger. He's the VP of sales. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And they do make good products. So
yep. No, for sure. Everything's CPMG. So everything's third-party lab tested. And, you know, they have a PhD that formulates all their products too. So everything's in, like, the clinically validated doses, which is a big thing, right? Like, with a lot of supplements, it would be like, oh, there's, you know, this in it, but it's only, you know, the tiniest amount possible, but it doesn't do anything, right? So.
The biggest thing when it comes to that is natural testosterone boosters. You know, me and Steve, you know, all the time on the forum, someone's asking about, you know, this, like, natural testosterone booster. Like, hey, I saw this product. It's $20. What do you think? It's got all these ingredients in it. Well, look, it's got 50 milligrams of tribulus. Like, what's 50 milligrams going to do? That's a thousandth of a teaspoon. A teaspoon of protein powder after your workout. Like, but the dosage is so small, it's not going to do anything for you. So you brought up a really good point.
If you want good supplements, you're going to pay for them. There's no such thing as good, cheap supplements. Like, it's just, you know, good, it doesn't cheap. Exist. They're watered down, right? So, you know, people that buy stuff at, you know, Walmart and stuff because it's cheap, it's like, well, there's a reason why it's cheap.
So, Andy, you know, really appreciate you coming on the show. This was really, it was really helpful. It cleared up a lot of, I think, I don't know if it was misinformation, but confusion people had about the cycle diet. Like, a lot of people didn't really understand how it worked and you know, how you're able to do those weekly refeeds. So thank you for that. And then,
you can check out more info. Sorry to cut you off, but you can definitely check out more information on that at thecycle.diet, just thecycle.diet. You can pick up the book there, but it'll tell you everything you want to know about it. It's more than the diet. It's a lifestyle. So you can check that out too.
All right. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, And for our special guest, international fitness model, Andy Sinclair, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening.